us start with prayer. Lord, you've been speaking this morning to us, and you've challenged us. I thank you for the gift of repentance that you have given us today. And Lord, unless you speak to us this morning, we go away hungry. Unless you touch the deep parts within us, we labor in vain. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you would touch our ears to hear what you are saying to us right now. How do you want to minister to us, Lord? You're the only one that knows what each person here needs. You know their thirst and where it is. You know those places, Lord, that are hurting and broken and wounded. You know those places they're rejoicing and have victory. You know those places, Lord, where there's rejection or sadness and anger or fear. You know them, Lord. You know our frame. You know how weak we are. And you've called this morning our pride and our mountains and our strongholds that we have been trying to push up a hill and you want us to stand on. And yet I keep crying out to you, Lord, I need you to help me. That can be easy to say, Lord, but when I go back home and I go back into my circumstances, I'm confronted with the rock. I'm confronted with my circumstances. I'm confronted with the doctor that has said something's wrong with me. I'm confronted with my pain. I'm confronted with my circumstances and the storms of life. I need a fresh vision of you today, Lord, a fresh vision of you today. I need my eyes open to see you. I need my ears touched to hear you. And I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you would break your word for us today, that you would break it, that you would feed us. And Lord, we just hold up your word before you this morning, and we're asking like you did the multiplying of the loaves and fishes. We ask right now that you would touch it, and you would break it, and you would multiply it, and you, Lord, would take it and feed each one here what they need today. I trust you for that, Lord, because you truly are the Lord. You truly are in charge. And we're looking for you to be glorified. We're looking for you to be honored. We're looking for you, Lord. Yes. Eyes on you this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said. Amen. One of the neat thing about this church is my family. Pastor's my pastor. I listen to the tapes that he ministers to. I listen to Stan, Pastor Stan. I listen to Burden Bearers, Audrey. Anyone that ministers here, I get the tapes. And one of the tapes, how many of you were here the Sunday that Stan ministered on the 2.5 tribes before the Jordan and they didn't want to cross over? How many were here to hear that one? No one over here? I just need to know because I want to go back to that because he did that on a Tuesday night. Oh, thank you. Okay, because I don't know when I look at the tape what day it is. Okay, well I want to go back to that Numbers because when I was listening to the tape and looking at the story, it's in Numbers 32. The Lord opened up something for me and I want to share for you. How I got here, about a year ago, it has been about a year ago. I don't know if any of you have ever felt depression. No, yes, yes, yeah, okay. Well, I was kind of in that state of depression and feeling just really down and low and you can have depression that comes clinically that, I mean, there's something biologically wrong with you. You can have a depression that actually, because of circumstances, you can have a depression that's from God and you can have one from Satan. So I wanted to know which one this was. And so I went to the Lord and I said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm just feeling moody and down and whatever. And he gave me 1 Peter and he said, my right hand is on you. So yield to it. So I knew it was from God. And I knew he was doing something in my life. And so I embraced that. And what you need to know is when God's dealing with us, I felt it as I was praying for you this morning. We get tired. We get weary. We want to lift ourselves up and we want to believe the scriptures, and yet we're confronted constantly with ourselves, with circumstances, with the things that happen that just kind of continually knock us down. I mean, the scripture says, you're knocked down, but not knocked out. Well, I've been knocked down and kicked 3 times before I got not knocked out. Yes or no? Are you with me? Okay. I mean, that's just some of the things that are hitting us in our life. And as I was walking through that period of time, the Lord opened up for me, and it came through the revelation scripturally came in Numbers. So I'm heading to Numbers 32. I've got to find it first and I can share with you. And as I began to go through this dark time, and it felt like that, I looked up scriptures on darkness because that's literally what I felt. I felt like I was groping in the dark. And yet I was about my day and about my business, and I knew God was doing something in my life. I knew He wanted to teach me something. And so I embraced it. I yielded to it because it said submit to that mighty hand, and He was in charge, and I knew it. And as I began to embrace it and deal with Him on it, He opened up to me the picture of the tabernacle. And He showed me the holy place. Now, what's in the holy place? Lampstand? Holy place, lampstand. And what does a lampstand represent? Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, our ministry, our activity in the Spirit. Then you have the table of showbread, and what does that represent? Fellowship, the communion. I just got the word fellowship, but it is relationships. It's the high priest ate the bread, and it was there to represent the tribes. And then you had the altar of incense, and what does that represent?
Prayer
and worship. And He showed me that, and then He showed me the Holy of Holies. And what's in the Holy of Holies? Ark. Now, what He showed me is what you have to go through to get from the holy place to the Holy Holies. What do you have to go through? The veil. Okay. Now, in the holy place, He showed me that's the church of Jesus Christ. That's where all the activity is. That's where you and I are. That's where we've been at this morning. That's where the prophecies came out and the ministry to one another. That's the activity. And that's what we like doing because it blesses people and we get a reward for it. And it's need meeting. And He showed me that in the Holy of Holies, there's nobody. And it's dark. What's the light in the Holy of Holies? Who's the light, I probably should say? It's Him. That's it. No show. Nobody saying, well done. No one saying, wow, you really ministered to me. You really blessed me. There's nobody. Just Him. And He asked me, He said, are you willing to abide in the Holy of Holies? Because it will cost you everything of your ministry, of prayer. You will die to everything that's in the holy place. To have me. That doesn't mean you won't come out of the Holy of Holies to do all that. Please hear me. And we're going to look today of Numbers 32. Because it was that revelation, I said to the Lord, bring the darkness on. And I found myself waking up in the morning saying, Lord, I don't know what you want, because He took prayer. That was in the holy place. And I believe in prayer. Those of you that need to learn to pray, babies need to learn to pray, so please have ears to hear. I'm not getting rid of prayer. I'm letting you know that He begins to direct it. I'm not in charge of it anymore. I just don't get my prayer list down and say that, and then I go on my merry way. He's saying to me, I'm your high priest. Why don't you find out what I'm praying today and agree with that? And I have found he's praying about stuff not on my list. But when I pray what's on his list, I'm watching God move. Because it was on his heart, not Diane's. Big difference. I've had situations that are horrendous with Wayne and our finances and circumstances that are going on. And every day I'd come before the Lord in a panic attack. Have any one of those had one of those? I've had panic attacks. Things are really bad and not looking good and getting worse. But I went to my high priest. Now, you have your mountains that we've exposed today. Your high priest already has your answer. We sang about him arising and our victor coming. I heard him saying, I've already had the victory. I won it for you at Calvary. What more can I do for you? It's yours. The victory's there. Why don't you choose it moment by moment? Walking it out. In Numbers 32. And so he opened up Numbers 32. I am heading there, guys. Numbers 32. And I want to show you a few scriptures, and we're going to look today at a specific thing. Okay, the two tribes in 32. Now, they were on the east side of the Jordan, verse 1. Place was good for cattle. The sons of Gad, verse 2, and Reuben came to Moses and the leaders. And in verse 4, it said, the land of the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel as a land for cattle, and your servants have cattle. They said, if you have found favor in your sight, if we have, let this land be given to your servants for possession. What is the thing it says, last verse on 5? We don't want to go through the veil. We don't want to cross, we don't want to pay the price that it's going to take because it means I totally lose my ministry identity. I totally lose my identity as an intercessor, a prayer. Am I willing to lose everything for Christ because Christ lost everything for you? He gave us the example. Does he want ministry? Absolutely. But he wants to own it. And the church is at this side of the Jordan. Hey, this is really nice and I'm enjoying this. It's blessing me and it's fruitful for me and things are fine. Don't rock the boat. I don't want any more. I don't want to cross over. I don't want any more war. I'm tired of war, aren't you? I'm tired. I'm tired of dealing with my husband. I'm tired of dealing with my kids. You can take him home and be with Jesus today. Fine with me. I'm tired of me. I'm a burden I carry that I don't like. Good news is he likes us when we don't like ourselves. I don't want to cross over. Now, Moses was mad. You have a pastor who gets mad at you. He wants you crossing over. He should be. Moses got mad, said to the sons, shall your brothers go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the heart of the Israelites from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Has not God given us that? It's tabernacling. It's the abiding. It's the rest. It's him. Everything you ever need and want is him. Why would we settle? But we do, because it's need meeting. He wants to meet the need. He wants to, and I'll tell you, church, he's the only one that can touch the inner the Holy of Holies that's in Diane and the Holy Holy that's in you. No one else can touch it. People touch it this way. Out in, he goes into the depth of me, and he can speak to me in a way you could never think of speaking to me. He can speak words to me that he's the only one that knows I can hear or understand because he knows my neediness. He knows your neediness. He's the only one. We've lost that because we're content not to cross over. He got mad at him. Thus your fathers did not. He's mad because that's what happened with the first generation. They got in front of the land. Saw the giants, were afraid. Did we not hear fear this morning? We're afraid and said, not going in, don't want to go. They're bigger. My mountain's bigger than you. You can't handle it. And our sin of unbelief is truly the number one sin. of all of them, because we don't believe what Stan confessed this morning is true of all of us. We don't believe he's going to give us the strength. We don't believe he has the victory over. He doesn't believe he can change that person that's been that way 15,000 years and you've prayed till you're blue in the face. You know, the smart question to ask is, Lord, what are you praying about? You don't seem to be answering mine. You might be surprised what's on the Lord's platter for that person that is not on yours. I've been amazed at the things that I've, and what Brother said today, or Ron said, the way of the Lord, we don't know the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is going through the veil. Okay, where are we? Verse 9. And when your fathers, when we went up to the valley, saw the land, they discouraged the heart of everyone around you. Now, what kind of ministry are you in your household? Are you a discourager? When they say, you know, it's really bad day. Yeah, you've had a really bad day. I think you should. Yeah, you should. And I'll help you out. Discouraged their heart from going into the land. The Lord's anger was kindled against him on that day. And he swore, saying, surely none of them. And they all died. You stay in that place, you will die only because you have the giftings and anointing. You don't have him. And there's a difference between his presence, his actual literal presence, and his gifting, which are presence, gifts. And 11's the verse, and then we'll go on. 11 and 12 are the key verse. Surely none of the men who came out of Egypt for 20 years old and up shall see the land. They died. Because what? Holy, holy, totally. He says, go through the veil. Cross Jordan. I don't want to. Anger should be kindled against anyone that is in your life that you see stop. That should stir you to intercession. That should stir you for prayer. Why don't we settle for one another? Jesus, help us. God wants to stir you this morning because he wants you to come alongside with him into that holy place. He died for you. What more could he do? Holy follow. And I want to look at holy following Christ. Jesus said it. And we're going to look at the word follow in the New Testament this morning. The word follow in the New Testament expresses union, expresses likeness, like nature. It means going in the same way. So it's just not following someone in their footsteps, it's becoming them. It is, it's an internal thing. It isn't just external of following someone. It's like nature, union with him. He's not a byproduct. He wants to be with you. You're following somebody. Somebody is with you all the time. And I've shared this before, but I don't know if I've shared it here. Kathy, since you had me on the end, I'm going to show you who he is. Now, I use the word unconditional love. My beloved is unconditional. And he faces me, and we have a face-to-face relationship. Now, when Kathy sinned, I'm God. When Kathy sins, Scripture says she turns around, right? And wants to go her own way. But I am Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? Okay, so, let's go. I don't care where she goes, I'm going with her. Because I'm Emmanuel. Now, what will it require of her to have face-to-face again? Repentance. I didn't go anywhere. Church, he doesn't go anywhere. You make your bed in hell, he says, hello. just here with you waiting. You go to work. Where is he? When Stan goes and faces that pile at work, who's with him? Facing the same pile. He didn't go anywhere. He's right with Stan going, Stan, I see the pile too. What are we going to do about it? If you just ask me, I'll tell you. Is he not? Emmanuel, you go to the doctor and you hear really bad news. The Lord's with you. Hello. Good to see you. Lord's with you and saying, yes, that's what they're saying, but listen to what I'm saying. We miss him. Why? We're stupid, blind, deaf, and dumb. Either he's Emmanuel or he's not. I challenge you this week to look for him. When you sit down and when you face that spouse you can't stand and the kids that are making your hair want to pull him out, saying, well, he's right there with you. And you know what? He's with your kids too. What a shocking thought. He's there. He wants to help us. He did it all at Calvary. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, everything surprises me that happens in my life, but nothing surprises God. So I'll go into work and I'll face whatever. I'll hear that the check I just wrote, there's no money in the bank to cover it. Have any one of those days? And I'll turn to Emmanuel and says, we got a problem. I know you are my high priest praying. Will you let me give a clue to what you're praying? How do I get myself out of this one? But what do we normally do? I know what I do. I have a panic attack. And then I start calling around for people. Help! And the Lord sits there waiting. Patiently waiting. Just patiently waiting. I run to the bank. Who goes with me? Patiently waiting. Just saying to himself, gee, I wish he'd ask me. I have the way out. I wish he'd find out what I'm planning to do about it because I can multiply her money. I can make a way where there's no way. Look what we've lost with a miracle-working God. We talk about our mountains today. We sang about them. I went through a divorce. Painful, 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 painful. I dealt with a husband that got guns out and wanted to shoot me. Now, was God there? Was he Emmanuel? Yes. Absolutely. Does it say he's my protector? Absolutely. So the smart thing to do is what? Ask him for protection. You don't think he wants to send his angels out to help you? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Nobody is greater than God. I had a little girl when she was a high schooler, and she had gotten raped by her boyfriend, and they were now apart, and we were praying through, and she was afraid to go. She got herself into the mess because she was home alone, and he came to the door. And she let him in, and that's when she got raped. And so when I was dealing with her, I said to her, Jesus was with you at that door before you ever opened that door. What was he saying to you? And she said, the Spirit was saying, don't open the door. But I said to myself, it's my boyfriend. No harm done. So, by opening the door, she tied God's hands to help her. Was he still there for her? Absolutely. If she had turned right then to repentance, he would have interceded for her and intervened for her. So, these are days later, and she's repented, and we prayed through the situation, and she said, I am afraid. She started having visions and nightmares because of the traumatic experience, obviously, that he was going to come in her windows at night and attack her. And rape her again. Now, where's Emmanuel? Absolutely. Does she know it? No. So she's blind, deaf, and dumb. So she needs someone to help her. Now, this is where I challenge you. If you can't see them and hear them, you call pastors and say, I can't see them and hear them. Will you help me see them and hear them? I need help. I'm stuck in my stuff. I'm more afraid and in a panic attack, so I can't. My faith is in the guy who's going to come in and break into the house. My faith is in the bank that owns this check that just bounced. My faith is in the doctor who just told me I had this kind of sickness. My faith is in my spouse who does these things that makes me go crazy. I need help. Help me. Help me get Emmanuel back in to where he is right now, right with me. We need help, church. We need to help one another see him again. I'm honest enough to say, I'm in a panic attack. Help me. I was in a meeting and David called, and he was coming into a very important situation and circumstance. He said, Mom, pray for me. I need God to tell me how to walk through this thing. Church. Wholly follow him. He wants you to. He wants union with you in it. So I asked the little girl, I'll pray with you. She repented for her unbelief. That is the sin today, church. We don't believe he can. We've given our faith to the banks, to the storms of life, to the doctors, to our spouses, to our children, to our bosses, to the bank who owns your mortgage. Everyone has your faith, and our sin is unbelief, and God called it today. Challenged us with it. I prayed with her after she repented for her unbelief. She got excited because the Lord opened her eyes. Spiritually, she saw a huge angel sitting at her window, waving at her. Hello. I'm on the job. I don't worship angels, okay? But he does send them out to help us. You don't think that helped her sleep that night? What are you teaching your children, fear or faith? That's enough for the morning. Come back tonight if you want part... Well, that wasn't even part one. Jesus Christ said, follow me. You follow me? I will lead you through the veil. I will lead you to the holy place of my presence. And it'll be you and me. Just you and me. There's no audience with that, church. There's no show in that. There's no applause. There's no eyes. No one to see you but him. Will you cross over? Because it will mandate you dealing with your fears, being honest with him to say, help me. It's our pride he called this morning. We're too proud to call for help. Then sit in your stuff. Jesus this morning said, come, come, come. He'll say it tomorrow to you. I want to help you today. I want to walk with you today. I want to set you free from those fears within you. I have the same nature you do. Gets hurt, wounded, angry, fearful, scared, depressed. I don't know what your mountain's called, but you have a mountain and God called it this morning for you. And I believe what happened with what Stan said and what God challenges us is where we're ending today. That was a word from the Lord. I can't go past that because we didn't eat at church. Kathy came out and tried to say it another way. We didn't eat it. Do you know what I mean by eat it? We heard it, but that's as far as it got. It didn't come down here in true repentance and saying, Lord, I don't take you on Monday. I don't take you in my circumstances. I don't take you to the bank. I don't take you here and here and here. I've lost sight of you, and I have to confess today, I am blind. I don't see you. I am deaf. I don't hear you. But I want to. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to see that you are bigger than that person, bigger than my circumstances. I have seen God change bankers, judges, attorneys. Nobody is greater than him. We've had so many lawsuits, it's funny. He gives victory. Amen. He does. We're the stupid ones that don't ask. He already did it at Calvary. He always causes you to have victory and triumph more than. We repented for unbelief this morning, and I'm going to close with, it's just not unbelief. We've put our faith in a lot of things but him. And we have not wholly followed him. I haven't. I haven't always seen Emmanuel with me, next to me, ministering to me. Is he in me? Absolutely. But he's also with me, walking with me, cares what's happening, cares that you're sitting in front of a situation. I just think of the judge in these impossible situations. He's there, wanting to give the answer, wanting to give the way, wanting to give the solution. You have a financial trouble. Hey, honey, I'm so in debt with our Denny's business. Whatever you were to tell me would look really cheap. But God, I've watched God make a way where there's no way. My husband owed $200,000. He owed $800,000 to the tax commission in Oklahoma. He needed to come up with, in 2 weeks, $200,000 we didn't have. Now, you talk about panic attack. At that point, 10 was too much. Because when you need money, you need money. And I watched, and we called for prayer. There's no pride in this church. We called for prayer and said, help us. Will you carry this with us? And I'm here today to tell you, God Almighty gave us the $200,000. He made a way, church, where there was no way. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. We have lost the miracle working power because of our fears and our unbelief. And he's saying, come back to me today. I want to help you. It is really that simple this morning. Jesus said to the disciples, follow me. He said to, as the risen Christ, he said to Peter, follow me. Come into union with me. Will we wholly follow him or stop? I stop, you stop, too hard, too much, too painful. I don't want to go there. Which we're saying to him, when you died at Calvary, you didn't deal with the pain I'm in. And you can't. When you died at Calvary, you didn't have enough power to deal with my enemies. When you died at Calvary, you didn't have enough power to give wisdom and understanding to what's happening to me physically. That's what we're telling him. It wasn't a complete work. That's why it says in the scriptures in John, the number one sin that the Holy Spirit's going to come and convict the world of is unbelief. Because we do not believe him. Here, not here. When I was having a panic attack, was I believing he could save me? Was I believing that he could bring the $200,000? No! My panic attack is where my faith was. And that was real, and that's real for you too. It's where we're at. But I said to the Lord, help me! This fear has seized me. It's choking me. I need to be set free from me because I don't believe you can do it. I know you can do it. My brain, I can quote you the scriptures. I know them all. I've memorized them. Perfect love casts out fear. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I have overcome the world to hurt you. Oh, sounds good. But the tax commission wants 200,000 and they can put us in jail, which they wanted to do. Are you big enough for that? Did you take that at Calvary? Yeah, you did. It took me 2 days to get set free. I lived a death through that, to be set free of the anxiety attack. But I'll tell you something. You continue to ask him to help you, because I knew he was right with me, and I kept saying, Lord, I know you're with me, but I don't know you're with me. Don't have a clue you're here. I don't know where you are. But I want to be set free from me. I want to be set free from this panic attack, that it's from here that I believe you, and I know you died for me, and I know you had the victory, and I know you make the way out, and I know you turned everything for my good, and I could quote you all the scriptures I know, Lord. I got them here. That helped my panic attack. I want it here. And that's what it means to eat the word, to feed on Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I need your nature. I need your peace. I need your calm. I need your love. I need you. Set me free from me. I'm the mountain. It's me, Lord. I stand in the need of prayer. How desperate are you this morning to cry out to him or go home the way you are? It's up to you. He's not coming to you. He already told you that this morning. He already called you to come. He's saying, come to me. You want it? You're going to come to me. Babyhood days are over, church. Not being spoon-fed. I'm going to do an altar call. But this is between you and him. Because you take him home with you. You go back to your circumstances. There's no cure here. But he is here. And wants to minister to you. And does not want you going home deaf, dumb, and blind, and in your situations. He paid a high price for you, and we heard it earlier. Today's the day. You might not get tomorrow. My question to you is, why wait till tomorrow? It will deal with your pride, church. We don't want anyone to know in this church we got a problem. We don't want anyone to know we're sick and dysfunctional. Hey, just ask your spouse. They know. Your children could keep you really clear on what's going on. I'm going to close in prayer, and we have a few minutes left. I'm going to do a dismissal. Those that want to leave, free to go. But this is between you and God. And what you want to do about you. So, Lord, I just thank you that you've challenged us today. Are we going to wholly follow you to go into that place where there's nobody there? No, nothing but you. That's what it means to follow, Lord, is crossing Jordan into your presence, into you. So, Lord, this altar is being opened for us to encounter a living God. And Lord, I just pray a blessing on those that are feeling led to leave. I just thank you for your word, that you continue to minister to it. Bless them. Bless their going. Say KK. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can stay in your seat where you are, but Lord, I just thank you that you are here. And we release the Spirit of Living God to do only what He can do in our midst. He kabasa kutia titi.